Agree with me that it's a beautiful morning. Say amen, would you? Amen. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful morning. We're glad you're here. People are still coming in, but we want to get started on time. And let's do what Christians have done for 2,000 years. I'll begin by saying he is risen, and you say he is risen indeed, okay? He is risen. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we join together on this glorious day to sing your praises, to be in your presence, and to worship you. And we pray that you'll come and visit us in a mighty, awesome way. Thank you for everything that will happen today. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen. We're going to begin our service today with a video of Peter and John running to the empty tomb. And then we'll begin our singing. affirmation of faith, the 2,000-year-old Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. Let me share with you, those of you standing in the back, we have some wonderful news. Right on the very front are all empty chairs. Right up front, be brave, come on down. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 18, 20 chairs down front. And there are a number of chairs way over here. If ushers, you see those over there. So, yeah, come on down. That'd be great. We reserve these seats in the front for the really large givers, Jim. I want you to know that. Listen, I want before we pray, keep these persons in your prayers and thoughts, if you would. But I also wanted to say, we just sang the Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ours is a Trinitarian faith. We were reminded of that each Sunday, the Gloria Patri, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning and ever shall be, the eternal nature of what we're about, which we celebrate today. I'm going to make a couple of announcements that would also be prayer concerns. On the front of your bulletin, you'll see three big things coming up. April 3rd and April 21st, the 10 Days in the Holy Land. Those are identical presentations by Bob Weston, tremendously creative person, about our recent trip to Israel. Invite you to come and learn, and will be downright fun, as he says. The churchwide barbecue, Friday, April 5th. Sharon and Earl McDowell in the very back by the Alpha sign. Pick up your tickets there. This will help the Madison Youth Ranch. And we're very excited about after Easter, starting this next Sunday, I'll be preaching for 6 or 7 weeks. The study will be A Disciple's Path, and it's a great program written by my very good friend Jim Harnish, and you can get the workbook. Whether you come on Wednesday nights or do this at your home, we invite you to be a part of that. Also, a prayer concern is for our mission box today, which is those wooden boxes, but also another announcement related to that is the Madison Youth Ranch. Every fifth Sunday we celebrate, and our offering is for the Florida United Methodist Children's Home, and this is for the Madison Youth Ranch being built up in Madison. Our goal for Trinity is $200,000. We're at $120,000. And here's what Andrew says. Out front, there are 144 envelopes on the table out front, numbers 1 through 144. If all of those are picked, the money corresponding to the number will raise $10,000 today. Andrew's already taken number 144. So we hope you'll do that afterwards. Would you bow with me now for prayer? God, ours is a living, dynamic, awesome faith. because of the living Lord, even Jesus the Christ. We celebrate that he is risen indeed, and through his Holy Spirit he is alive, ever so alive among us, within us, as we invite him to be a part of who we are, as we seek to be his disciple and follow him. We thank you, O God, for on the third day he rose again, for that reality which has changed the world and changed us and changes us. For the indwelling living Christ, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that propels us to do things like support a children's home, to relieve suffering in the world, to engage in ministries that are transformative, that help children, youth, adults, all in need. We thank you for the call you've placed upon each of us, upon our church. We pray for our community and our world that this Prince of Peace, his truths, his example might prevail in our lives and that we might be devoted followers of his. Thank you today, O God, for this service, for all that take a part in it. We thank you for David and Courtney and their ministry among us, for the many, many ways they've blessed our lives these 6 years. We pray for them as they go to a new place, Bethune-Cookman University. We pray that you already be going before David and Courtney, and we ask your blessings upon them. And bless David as you already have done today in the first service and will in this service, we pray, as he preaches the word of God. So bless us now that we might hear from you, experience you anew and afresh. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we gathered together to pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as he forgives those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you stand now as we sing this glorious hymn, He Lives, He Lives. Stand and sing, would you?
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever folks may say. I see his hands of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives.
I will share with you that there's still some seats over here in this section. If anybody needs seats, there are three down here, four down here. So feel free to come up this way. We welcome you today on this Easter Sunday, this glorious Easter Sunday. And if you're new among us, we would love for you to stop over at the Information Center afterwards, receive a gift to get to know folks, and let us get to know you. Out front, just off to the left from here, is the Blossoming Cross. Lots of you will stop there and have photos taken. That's a great tradition. Let me just say a couple other things. At the end of the service, we'll close with a closing hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. The combined choirs will come in and stand here and to get ready to sing the Hallelujah Chorus. As they get up here, we invite you during that singing of that hymn, if you'd like to join them in the singing of the Hallelujah Chorus, we have extra copies. Come up and find your place with the choir. Also, right after this service, now listen carefully. We're going to have an Easter egg celebration, an Easter celebration. There'll be plenty of time for you. At the conclusion of the service, if your children are in Sunday school, there'll be plenty of time. Check out your children from Sunday school. Make your way to the front of the worship center. Stop and enjoy a bite to eat provided by our adult Sunday school classes. Then join us for singing under the large oak tree out here. Like I say, there'll be no rush, no panic. After all the children and families have arrived, we'll enjoy a story and begin our egg hunt. Directions will be given by the children's ministry team so that all families can enjoy hunting for eggs on our beautiful property. If you didn't bring extra baskets, we have extra baskets and bags located at the refreshment tables. The children's ministry team thinks of everything. They're really good. Now, some of you have asked me this morning, gee, you're not preaching today, and I said no. Many of you may not have heard that David and Courtney have been asked by the president of Bethune-Cookman University for David to come and be the dean of the chapel, and they really wanted Courtney to come and sing, and so they asked David to come along. Amen. And I just knew that David really ought to have the opportunity to preach at Trinity on Easter. And so what I'd like you to do as we stand to greet each other, if you feel the same way I do, that we've been blessed these past 6 years in an awesome way to have David and Courtney Allen here, would you stand and then turn to others and say, he's a great guy. Standing. David, thank you. Thank you. Another thing I forgot to mention, if you're not going to stay for the egg hunt, how do I say this nicely? There will be people trying to get in here for the 11 o'clock service. I'll just say it that way. Our parkers are really good, but we don't want to stretch them. How's it been going out there? Pretty good? Okay. Pray with me, would you? God, we are so blessed. We know it more today, perhaps, than ever. The resurrection of your Son, Jesus, the invitation to new life, everlasting life. And out of that joy we give because of your goodness to us, we ask your blessings on these gifts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's hear it again for Sunlight. That was outstanding. Bless your hearts. Bless your hearts. Bless your hearts. And again, I know he's going to think that this is not necessary, but good leadership is good to find these days. Amen, church. Aren't we blessed to have an outstanding leader in Dan Johnson? Amen. Bless your heart. Has been an honor to serve with Dan for these years and this entire church and staff. And it's certainly a bittersweet season for Courtney and I and our family as we are transitioning to move. So thank you for your prayers and cards and calls and emails, etc. Really do feel the love, and I really do appreciate all that you are doing and have done in the past, etc. This morning I want to minister briefly from the weekend that won the world, the weekend that won the world. And before we get into the meat of the message, we'll bow our heads for a moment of prayer. We'll have the scripture reading first and then pray. Mike, if you'll play softly as you wonderfully do during the prayer, that would be great. Can we bring up the scripture reading now for this, there it is, there it is, John 12. Listen carefully to these words. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Glorified. Pay attention to that word. "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." And also for the scripture reading of John 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. And both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside and saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciple went back to where they were standing. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw the two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God. Lord, we do come to you now. We thank you for the joy of this morning. We thank you for what it meant then, and we thank you for what it means for us now. We do invoke and invite your anointing, your spirit, to be with us in a special way. Open our minds and our hearts and our ears to hear a fresh word from you. Speak to me, Lord, through me and for me. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my rock and my radical redeemer. And the people of God agreed in prayer and said, Amen. 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 Bless your hearts. Bless your hearts. Bless your hearts. Just a little while, I want to minister from the thought once again, the weekend that won the world. The weekend that won the world. Friends, the story was told of a Sunday school teacher who gave her class the assignment of bringing back plastic eggs filled with something pertaining to Holy Week. One kid brought in a wooden small cross symbolizing the crucifixion. Another kid brought in a very small pebble symbolizing the stone that had been rolled away. And still another brought in just a tiny, tiny nail representing the nails that were placed in Jesus' hands and feet. And finally, Brian, who was born blind at birth, brought in an empty egg and opened his empty egg, and the class wondered what it could possibly mean. The teacher rushed over to him in embarrassment, thinking that he dropped his item along the way. And Brian spoke up and said to her, "No, I didn't drop it. My egg represents an empty tomb and means that Jesus is risen and that he is alive." 7-year-old blind Brian was able to see what an entire class could not. What about you this morning? What do you see as we gather on this glorious Easter morning? I've been sifting and searching this particular text, John 20, walking in the north of it, the south of it, the east of it, and also the west of it, trying to imagine what it must have been like for Peter and the beloved disciple John and Mary to have encountered, catch this, the awkwardness of an empty tomb. I mean, can you imagine what it must have been like to get a knock on your door before day at 5 a.m. in the morning by Mary saying, "Come quickly, the stone has been rolled away"? Think of it for a minute and feel the audacity and the shock of it all. What do you mean the stone has been rolled away, Mary? The stone that was patrolled and policed by Secret Service officers in order to have been sealed and glued has become unsealed and unglued? Can you imagine how they were moved with excitement and wonder? Can you feel the adrenaline rush they must have experienced as they received this news? Can you see the disciples on this early morning, rushing to get dressed, searching for their sandals with morning breath in their mouths and mote still in their eyes? Psychologically, they cannot believe what they are hearing. It's incomprehensible. It's unfathomable. Mary, this even reopens the closure that we just received 2 days ago when we heard him from the cross say, "It is finished." But is it really? We are talking about death here. Death the divider, death the destroyer, death the separator. Death as divider divides living things from dead things. It divides the present world from the future world, from the underworld. Death as destroyer destroys our rhythm of life. It destroys our relationships. It destroys the flow of life. It destroys life as we know and understand it. It destroys our eating together and laughing together and drinking together and being merry together. Death is also a separator. It selfishly separates us from our loved ones. It separates us from the closest of friends. It separates us from people and things that used to be, from the possibilities that could be. Death, it is a separator, and it seals us in our tombs. So they got up and they ran for the tomb. It's now literally a foot race to the tomb. Oh, excuse me, a foot race to a funeral. But how can you funeralize a free man? The beloved disciple John gets there first, but enters the tomb second. Peter arrives second but enters the tomb first, and they both behold the linen strippings and the headband that was around Jesus' head. And the Bible points out the burial remains were indeed separate. And how the Bible points this out causes me to believe that the details were intentional. Intentional for them then, and intended for us today. Thanks be to God. John's gospel records in verse 31 that these things have been written that you may believe. But the question this morning is, what are we to believe? Well, because John's gospel is understood to have been written with spiritual overtones, I believe that John was giving us all an early sign of victory. Are you ready for this? A sign that says and suggests Jesus is risen. Risen by the resurrecting power of God. And that this resurrection power is ultimate victory over all defeat. How many of you realize this morning that resurrection power is victory over all of our defeat? Peter, the very place and thing that was supposed to separate me from you has been defeated. My beloved, the thing that was supposed to destroy my fellowship with you has been destroyed. John, and the thing that was designed to divide my rule and my reign has been divided. death that separates us and seals us in our tombs has had to surrender its seal, catch this, to a risen Savior, the Son of God. So I left you my linen strippings to show you that I've overcome death and the grave. In other words, the conclusive finality of an empty tomb has been overturned and overcome by a new beginning. A beginning birthed and born in resurrection. And while Peter and John were blessed to get my early signs of resurrection regarding strippings, Mary has been blessed to get my substance of resurrection. Follow me now. Don't go to sleep on me. Amen, church. But if you're not paying attention, you can miss it just like Mary missed it. You know Mary. Mary who wept for Jesus on Good Friday. You know Mary, don't you? Mary who aided and assisted Jesus throughout the life of his ministry. Mary who landed third place in this foot race to the tomb, or this foot race, excuse me, to a funeral, should be awarded first place by what happens next. Though she was last arriving back to the tomb, she was first to witness the risen Christ. Isn't it an irony of what Matthew 20 and 16 says? It says to us, so the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And it also adds that many are called, but few are chosen. My friends, Mary was chosen to witness the work and work on behalf of a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing that was disguised in mystery, but that was earned through misery. Verses 11 through 14, they help us see the picture all the more clearer. Mary is there lingering on the outside of the tomb. And the Bible says she bent over to look into the tomb, and she has an encounter with two angels dressed in white. One is at the head and the other is at the foot of where Jesus laid. And they ask her this question. Catch this now. Woman, why are you crying? Why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have laid him. Pay attention to her responses. And at this, the Bible says she turned and she saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was Jesus. Mary's responses reveal more to us than meets the eye, church. When the angels ask her, Mary, why are you crying? She says, they have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have laid him. Follow me now. Even when Jesus, the risen Jesus, asked her, woman, why are you crying? She responds, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, where you have laid him. Church, here within this moment lies a glorious revelation. A glorious revelation. But before I get to that revelation, let me express it through an experience that I had the other day with my daughter. I don't know if she's here. But when I was working on this message and was writing out the details, Trinity came to my bedside and just plopped down and did this in front of me. And I couldn't resist. And so I put my pencil down and I says, hey, what's going on, babe? And she started talking to me. Daddy, you know, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm, you know, working on a sermon. What are you working on? And I told her the chapter that I was studying, John 20. And, well, what are you writing? Okay, I'm writing a sermon. And then I just took the time and I told her the story. And when I got to the part of where Mary is outside of the tomb weeping, she could not understand why Mary was crying. Why would Mary be crying if Jesus is standing right there with her? And I said, well, Trinity, she couldn't see Jesus. She says, but it just said that Jesus was standing right there by her. Why is she crying? And there, God just gave me a grand moment. My daughter loves to bake, such as my wife. She loves to bake. And Trinity has this little easy bake machine. You all know what easy bakes are, don't you? Everybody has an easy bake if you have children, at least a daughter. Everybody has an easy bake. And so the other day when I was in the garage, she brought me this dough. And, you know, oftentimes I don't eat what they give me, but I just swallowed it on down. We're all getting over this book, so I was a little careful. But I ate it anyway in good spirits. And it was great. It was easy bake. cookie dough, if you will. And that moment came back to me. And so to help her understand it, I said, well, Trinity, you remember the cookie dough? She says, yes. And I said, you remember the chocolate chips that you put in the cookie dough and we mush it together and it's soft? She says, yes. And I said, what do we do next? We turn on the oven at 350, 375, and we pull out a baking sheet and we put the cookie dough, follow me now, on this baking sheet. And then we put the cookie dough in the oven. And after it bakes for about 15 minutes or 20 minutes or so, when we pull the plate, the pan back out, we have cookies. She says, yes. I said, we no longer have cookie dough, we have cookies. She says, yes. I think she saw it. I think she saw that cookie dough that endures heat and pressure becomes perfected and it becomes a cookie. And so the dough that was not perfected on this side becomes perfected. And if you eat any of Courtney's cooking, the cookie dough is no longer cookie dough, but it is glorious. It's glorious. And that's why she couldn't see Mary, because Mary was looking for the wrong Jesus. How many of you realize that the Good Friday Jesus who was laid is not the same Jesus that was risen and who was standing right there by her? That's not to say that anything is wrong with the Good Friday Jesus, because if it were not for a Good Friday Jesus, we wouldn't be here this morning. Mary was so predisposed with her hurt and her grief, she couldn't see hope and healing standing right there by her. How many of you realize that we can be so predisposed with death, we become blind to life? How many of you realize we become so predisposed to crucifixion, we overlook resurrection? A glorious revelation for the church. You can be so predisposed with your burdens that you overlook your blessings. So predisposed with your problems that you overlook your solutions. How many of you are predisposed with something blocking your view of what God has created in you today? Predisposed with layers of guilt, predisposed with worriation and stress, predisposed with hindrances. And Mary has every right to be predisposed. In other words, Mary presents the human factor in the text. She presents this question, David, how can I celebrate Resurrection Sunday when I'm living Good Friday? How can you celebrate Resurrection Sunday when we're living Good Fridays of Sandy Hook school shootings? How can we celebrate Resurrection Sunday when we're living Good Fridays of being the wealthiest country in the world, but morally it seems as if we're headed towards bankruptcy? How can we celebrate Resurrection Sunday when we're living Good Friday? And hopefully the question is answered as we go a little further. So I'm just amazed. I'm amazed that as Mary is standing in this thick and this haze and this fog, the only thing that snaps her out of that place is when Jesus calls her name. And it is at the calling of our names. It's when God calls us, we become soul shocked. Can I say that? Not shell shocked. Soul shocked. And we received a renewed orientation. Jesus says, woman, and she didn't respond to woman. That was just too general. It wasn't specific enough. But when Jesus said, Mary, when he called her name, she responded. Her orientation changed. She began to become aware of who she was and who she was. It's the same with you and I. How many of you realize that the Lord from his place of resurrection is calling your name today? He wants you to remember whose you are and who you are in him. He wants to remember that he's entrusted you with a sacred gift, his resurrection. The calling of our name, it removes all doubts and it calms all of our fears. And here it is. Resurrection is God's gift of victory over defeat. Jesus gives Mary a visual reminder. Mary, I'm standing right here with you. I'm standing right here with you. And how many of you realize that the same Lord who was standing with Mary centuries ago is standing with you today? Amen, church? That deserves a strong amen. Amen, church?
Amen.
He's standing with you today. Here it is, resurrection. It's God's gift of victory over all defeat. It's victory that gives us hope to hang on. It's victory that ultimately conquers the enemy's best shot. The finality of an empty tomb, my friends, has been overturned and overcome by a new beginning. A new beginning birthed and born in resurrection. Well, David, what is resurrection? Well, I'm glad you asked. Resurrection, my friends, is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. Resurrection is the hinge whereby all of our faith and hope are held. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 14 that if there has been no resurrection, our preaching is useless. All the preaching that Dan and Troy and everybody else does is useless, is what Paul says, if there has been no resurrection. Our preaching is useless, and Paul also adds that our faith is in vain. He also adds that if there has been no resurrection, we are still literally living in our sins. Well, let's read a little further. Jesus calls Mary's name, and what Mary does, she responds by running to the Lord, trying to hold on to him. And Jesus says, no, I haven't ascended yet. But go to your brethren and tell them. Isn't that beautiful? He says, tell them that I'm returning to my God and your God and my Lord and your Lord. Tell them that I'm returning. And when I came across that in the text, it reminded me of Joseph Campbell's The Hero of a Thousand Faces. I don't know if you know about Joseph Campbell, but he talks about three phases of the journey. He talks about separation. He talks about initiation. And he talks about return. I wish I had time to unpack all of that. But for sake of time, separation is what happened to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's when Jesus was torn from his disciples. He was torn from his ministry. He was pulled away from his comfort. That's the whole notion of being separated. And then the process of initiation is walking the road less traveled, the road filled with many trials and thorns. That's the whole notion of initiation. And during the process of initiation, there's a battle fought, catch this, and a victory won. And those who are being initiated, then, if they are strong enough and mighty enough, they return. Here's the good news. They not only return with battle scars, but they also return with reward in hand. How many of you realize that when Jesus returned to the disciples, he told doubting Thomas, come put your hands in my nail prints. In other words, come visit my battle scars for you. Come thrust your hand in my side. See where they pierce me. Jesus not only returned with scars, but he also returned with reward in hand. Well, David, what is the reward in hand? The reward in hand is this. It's the victory over all defeat. Jesus rose from the grave, giving you victory over all defeat. So in closing, David, what does that mean? It means that he's risen. It means that he's risen. It also lines up with the hymn that we sang earlier. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. If you ask me how I know he lives, he lives, saints, within my heart. Isn't that a beautiful hymn? Now, that's the hymn's version, but here's David's version. What does it mean? It means that if he got up, you can get up. It means that if he sat up, you can sit up. It means that if he stood up, you can stand up. It also means that if he rose up, you can rise up. Amen, church. The good news for this morning is he lives, and he lives forevermore. Now, as I hasten to a close, the doors of the church are open, and I want you to think about something. I want you to think about something. about the fact that God has never won a Grammy. And out of all of the beautiful hymns that we get to sing, He Rose and In the Garden and He Lives, etc., He's never won a Grammy. And this is the weekend that won the world. Catch this. He's never won an Oscar. Out of 85 Oscars, He's never been considered once to receive an Oscar. But you can pay God the highest honor by receiving Him into your heart right now as Shepherd, Savior, and Lord. Oh, this is real serious business here. Even if you have received them into your heart as Shepherd and Savior and Lord, you can extend a greater honor to God by doing what Mary did. And that's your Easter charge for this morning. Go to the brothers and the sisters and tell them that He's risen and that He lives. Will you stand to your feet with me?
Receive the benediction and then remain standing for the Hallelujah Chorus. And again, anybody who would like to join us, make your way up, even during the benediction, if you would. Now may the wonderful, awesome love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.